Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is episode 119 of Transmissions from Atlantis. First, let us apologize for the long layoff. We didn't expect it to be this long. We told you guys we were taking a break after Christmas, and it ended up being a month-long break, so sorry about that.
Well, I mean, we've gotten really busy, and we also did some traveling and still recovering from my foot surgery, so we just had a little too much going on.
Yeah, so Rita was recovering from foot surgery, and she managed to take me to Paisley Park. Of course, going to Minnesota in the middle of January probably isn't advisable for anybody that's not a Prince fan, so you may not want to do that, but Minneapolis was beautiful, and Rita got to see snow, I got to see Paisley Park. It was win-win for everybody.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we've got a huge jam-packed show, as you can imagine, since we've been off for so long. Obviously, we have to talk about Carrie Fisher and John Hurt. If you can believe it, our last podcast happened before Carrie Fisher's death, so we got to definitely talk about that. We've got a million different things to talk about in rapid fire. Obviously, we have the Doctor Who Christmas episode to talk about, but also some big news that we told you guys could be coming, but it definitely did come, and Peter Capaldi is leaving the TARDIS, and we will have a 13th Doctor. I guess technically 14th Doctor, since Moffat did the fuzzy math, but...
Well, that's because 10 was a little vain.
Yeah. Allegedly. But how vain is he? Could he possibly come back? We'll talk about that. And we also have some very big news about Seekers of the Lost World.
Seekers of the Lost World is well into post-production now, and things are moving along very nicely. We are going to be launching an amazing campaign where we're going to give you, the fan, an opportunity to be a part of the film, to have a piece of the film, and overall just a way for you to contribute to the creation of this film.
Yes. And here's the thing, guys. While we definitely are seeking, you know, the major millionaire investors that are investing in movies, we wanted to give you guys an opportunity as well to be able to have a piece of this movie. You know, we actually have some excellent incentives that we're going to be providing, including opportunities to get pieces of the movie, you know, actual props that we used during the filming of Seekers of the Lost Worlds.
Including the stone tablet that is featured in one of our movie posters and is a pivotal artifact in the film.
Yep, not only do you get the tablet, but you also get the backlight that reveals the special message that is written on the tablet that nobody can see without the blacklight. So you get that, you get a fancy case. There are a bunch of great incentives that we put together specifically for our fans so that you guys have a great opportunity to be part of this, you know, because it's not just us. We're doing this for you guys. We're doing it for, you know, all the fans of Indiana Jones and National Treasure and Da Vinci Code and all the great treasure hunting adventure fans, archaeology fans.
And just to give you guys a taste of some of the other incentives we're going to have, if any of our listeners are, you know, trying to get into video editing and into the film industry, guess what? One of our incentives, you get to actually edit some of the footage on Seekers of the Lost World, and you get to have an IMDb credit for that.
Yep. If you're trying to build up your resume, your film street cred, as it were, you definitely have that opportunity with one of the incentives. All we really ask for you is to check out the campaign and see if there's anything that might interest you in incentives.
But here's a little bit of an important bit. Even if you don't have any cash to contribute, that's fine. All we ask is visit the link, visit our campaign on Seed and Spark, and just follow it.
Yep, hit the follow button.
Hit the follow button. That is really, really important because we get incentives from Seed and Spark themselves if we get a certain number of followers.
Yeah, if we hit the 500 mark of followers, we can get up to $8,000 worth of incentives from Seed and Spark. So even if you don't have money right now, I mean, money's tight for everybody. We completely understand that. So even if you can't contribute monetarily, you can contribute by following, and it can mean so much for us.
Yeah. I mean, and following is not going to cost you guys any money.
And you still get to be part of it.
Yeah, you still get to be part of it. And on top of that, you guys should check out the Seed and Spark website. They actually stream a lot of the movies that they greenlight through their crowdfunding. And they have actual subscription services, just like Netflix and Amazon Prime, that you can actually get and watch all these movies and films.
And some of these movies are really well put together. You know, as filmmakers, we're proud to be part of Seed and Spark because it has a great tradition of supporting minorities, women in film. There's a definite focus on giving opportunities where there normally isn't in the Hollywood industry. So,
and it's not just movies. They also have film shorts. They have television series. They really branch out.
Yep. So that should be launching on Tuesday, February 7th. So if you're listening to this after February 7th, it's already launched. You definitely want to check it out. And the site is seedandspark.com. And we will have a link directly to our campaign on the Transmissions from Atlantis website, as well as all the Facebook and all of our other social media outlets. All right, so that basically covers all that. So without further ado, let's get into our rapid fire. All right, folks, we have a jam-packed rapid fire, so let's not fool around. Let's get to it.
All right, so first on the list, A Series of Unfortunate Events premiered on Netflix. And for somebody who's actually read the entire book series, it was so spot on. Oh my God. You rarely get to see a show or movie that is so true to the books.
And for me, not having read the books, I found the series very enjoyable. It was a little melancholy, but that's by design. The show's called A Series of Unfortunate Events. And basically, Patrick Warburton, every single episode, tells you, this episode is going to be melancholy, you shouldn't watch it, so don't watch it. And if you choose to watch it, then you're going to be depressed.
They honestly could not have cast anybody better for Lemony Snicket.
Yes. I approve. I give Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events, I give it a 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I think I'd probably give it like an 8.5. I found it really, really enjoyable. I can't wait for the next season. And I think it's already been renewed.
Yep. And up next, Voltron, Legendary Defender, is back.
Yes, it is. And all I can think about is, and now the hunter has become the... Oh, no, he's free.
Yes, that's a line from the new series. And it is even better than season one.
Oh, do you agree with me that?
I finally agree with you on that.
Okay.
Because at first Rita was saying that, oh, it's better than season one. I was like, nah, I don't know. Season one was pretty great. But then after I really thinking about it, that season two was fantastic.
Okay, I know this is rapid fire, but we need to give Voltron a little bit more than just a quick thought.
Yep. Okay. Hurry up.
So with Voltron, not only was the second season better, the character story arcs and the development was even better than the first season. With the first season, the focus was really more on Pidge and maybe Shiro, while this time Shiro was still also a main focus, but then Keith was a little bit more in the center of the story arcs as well.
Yep.
I mean, the whole thing was just so much better. There was only one Road Beast the whole season.
I think so, and the Road Beast kicked Voltron's ass, really pissed me off.
Technically, there was two, but one of them was recycled.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really upset me about this season was the Road Beast kicked Voltron's ass.
I liked it, though, because the whole point, you know, the original series, they had the Road Beast of the day, you always knew Voltron was going to defeat it. Now it's not that easy.
He's freaking Voltron! He should have torn that son of a bitch apart! I didn't like it.
On a side note, Jason bought me all 5 lions for Valentine's Day.
Yes, I did. So, Voltron Season 2.
Awesome! 10, 11, 10. 15, infinity! When is Season 3 starting?
I don't know. Alright, up next.
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Come on, man.
Keith.
Spoilers.
Is part Golra.
Spoilers? Jeez. At least give him a warning. Crap.
What's your thought on that?
I don't know. Whatever. Let's move on.
Okay, fine. Lucifer. We finally caught up and watched both seasons of Lucifer. And my only thought is, why didn't we watch this before? Why did we wait until now?
Well, I can tell you why. Because it's a cop procedural, and we don't like cop procedural shows. I think the only cop procedural show we ever watched was Bones, and we lost interest in that show, so...
That is true.
But Lucifer is a completely different take on the cop procedural. And while it does have the murder of the week kind of element to it, the mythology of Lucifer, who, by the way, is a DC comic, I don't know if everybody knows that, but the show is a DC comic. And I thought the way that Tom Ellis plays Lucifer, I think, is absolutely fantastic. The show's great. The show is just really great.
Yep, I agree with you. And we just finished watching the second season, and we're already on pins and needles waiting for the third.
Yep. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, agreed. All right, next up, Inferno, the Tom Hanks film. When compared to Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, I think Inferno fell really short.
Yes.
I mean, like, really short.
So Inferno actually is one of the few... Dan Brown books that I haven't read. I've read The Lost Symbol, I've read The Da Vinci Code, I've read Angels and Demons. I didn't read Inferno, and I think one of the things that really bothered me about this film was it didn't seem to have the same heart that the other two movies
had. You notice that it was missing a lot of that figuring out the puzzle kind of mentality?
I mean, there was a little bit of that,
but not as much.
But really, the focus of the film was on Robert Langdon's amnesia and him trying to figure out, you know, put together what he had already forgotten. And to me, that kind of took away from it a little bit. I think I'm still disappointed that they skipped The Lost Symbol and went straight to Inferno. I think The Lost Symbol was a brilliant book. It was based in DC. It would have been a fantastic film. And I'm still disappointed that they didn't do that one. And I think Inferno for me felt a little flat.
Agreed.
I'll give it a 6 out of 10, I think.
It was still entertaining. I'll give it a 7. Yeah. But compared to the other two films, it just wasn't that great. It fell short a lot. All right, so next up, Last Kingdom, which is a BBC America show. We just watched it on Netflix. And wow, this is a really, really cool show.
I gotta say, it caught me a little bit by surprise because I wasn't expecting to like it. Even though I do kind of dig the historical dramas, I thought, great, another Viking show. There's already the main Viking show that's on History Channel. Do we really need another Viking show? But this one actually was a little bit different, and it was unique. And I liked the characters. I liked Alexander Draiman's portrayal of the main hero, and I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I agree. There was really interesting character development on this one. And it'll be interesting to see the next season because they did leave it on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yep, I give it a 8 out of 10.
Yeah, same for me. 8 out of 10. All right, next up is Frontier. This is definitely a Netflix exclusive show. And Frontier stars Jason Momoa.
Yeah, and I was surprised that Jason Momoa did a series, considering that, you know, he's Aquaman and he's, you know, all involved in the DC cinematic universe. And I would think he'd be a little too busy to do a TV series, but here he was in actually a really great series about Declan Harpe, who was a part Irish, part Native American outlaw who was trying to breach the Hudson Bay's monopoly on the fur trade in Canada. It's a lot more interesting than it sounds.
Yeah, when you read the description, it sounds boring. It's not. The show is actually pretty violent if you think about it.
Yeah, basically, the first scene of the show is him decapitating people. So, yeah, pretty violent.
You know, the politics behind it is also interesting. So, overall, it was a really cool show.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked it. I give that one an 8 out of 10.
Yep. Same for me. All right, next up.
Taboo.
Which I feel is similar to Frontier in regards to the politics.
Yep. And it's basically the same thing, where instead of on the eastern shore of Canada, this one's on the western shore of Canada.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing about that Taboo is that the majority of the story takes place in London.
Yes.
Now, it stars Tom Hardy, and you probably know him from the Mad Max movie.
Yes.
The Fury Road.
And what really separates Taboo from Frontier and a bunch of the other period pieces is it's kind of quirky. It's kind of got this weird supernatural feel. You're not sure if it's really supernatural or if Tom Hardy's character is just nuckin' futz.
Well, he's definitely that.
And, you know, it's I'm not sure yet if I like it. That's the weird thing, is that we've watched, I think 3 episodes of it, and I'm still on the fence on it. I kind of like it. I kind of want to know what the details are on his backstory, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Frontier, for example, you know, had me, you know, from the beginning.
Yes.
Taboo, like what you said, I'm on the fence about it. But for some reason, the show is still captivating enough for us to continue to watch. So right now, I'd probably maybe give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'm going with a 7 as well. I mean, because it's an entertaining show. It's very, very odd. And I want to continue watching it because I want to learn more of the backstory. But if it doesn't reveal itself soon, I think I might lose interest. So yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at with it.
That is one of the big problems with Taboo so far, is that the story seems to be running a little slow.
Yes. All right, so next up, Moana. So I cannot believe we have not talked Moana on this podcast.
Considering we saw it in November, okay? Moana was absolutely beautiful, and I got the soundtrack, I think, the next day.
Moana is definitely one of my favorite newer Disney movies to come out. I think it's right up there with Frozen. It's not better than Frozen, but I think it's right up there. I found it very enjoyable. I loved Dwayne Johnson.
He can sing!
Dwayne Johnson can actually hold a tune. That's shocking to me. And I loved the movie. The movie was great.
All right, so one other series we recently watched was Mars. Now, this was half documentary, half sci-fi story.
Yes.
Which was really, really cool on what, you know, they think would happen when we go and visit Mars.
Right. And like you said, it's a little bit sci-fi, it's a little bit documentary, so you kind of get what's happening now and what they're doing to build towards going to Mars and what they project as what's going to happen in the future. And it was a very entertaining program. I enjoyed it, and I learned a little bit about, you know, SpaceX and everything that Elon Musk is, you know, contributing to trying to get us to Mars.
The series was really excellent, and it was also putting me in the mood to watch Waters of Mars, the Doctor Who episode.
Oh, the Doctor Who episode. Well, it got me in the mood to watch Poop Potatoes.
Poop Potatoes.
Oh, sorry, The Martian, yes.
All right, so then final item on our rapid fire is going to be Sleepy Hollow. That show just started up again, and we just caught up with the 4 episodes. And considering the last couple seasons...
We were about to give up on Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, but so far, so good that the 4th season has totally redeemed itself.
Yep. Ichabod now has his own little Scooby team, which is kind of cool. I like the DC location. I think Sleepy Hollow is getting a little bit stale. So with all the history that is in Washington, D.C., and putting Ichabod in that center of American history, I think is definitely a good turn. The monsters have been very creepy. Not too sure about the big bad this year, though.
You mean the
billionaire guy? I don't know about him yet. He doesn't seem all that threatening to me. But
actually, he looks like a crackhead.
Yeah, he kind of looks a little crackheadish. I think he might have been one of the crackheads in one of the movies we watched. So, you know, I'm having trouble taking him seriously. But the demons have been great. They've been very spooky, very creepy. And I like the new team that he has. I thought I would miss Abby, but I'm not missing Abby as much as I thought I would.
In fact, I'm really interested in seeing Ichabod's interaction with Molly.
Yes, the young girl who's now, spoiler alert, the next witness. So it'll be interesting to see how that all works. And I'm happy with the way Sleepy Hollow's going. So I hope they keep it up. And that's going to do it for this rapid-fire segment. Coming up next, we're going to talk Star Wars and Carrie Fisher. And, of course, there was another big announcement on Star Wars, and that was the name of Episode 8. What does it mean?
All right. License and registration.
Officer, does she know who I am?
No.
I'm David Hasselhoff.
Good for you. License and registration, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff. The David Hasselhoff.
What, am I supposed to know you?
I am a famous actor, producer, and singer.
Sorry, never heard of you.
Oh, come on, that was on Baywatch. Mitch on Baywatch?
There were men on Baywatch?
Oh, don't you remember this? Me running in slow motion? I'm coming, CJ!
Whoa, buddy, you're not going anywhere. I'm taking you in.
Hey, but I'm famous. I'm even making a hip-hop album with Ice-T.
What's your hip-hop name? Sir Drinks a Lot?
Wait. I was a Knight Rider, too. Remember the talking car? Kit. I know Kit.
That's it. You admit to being a Knight Rider. You must be drunk. Watch your head, buddy.
Kit! Save me! Save me, Kit! Kit! Ugh.
Tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mexican Air Force pilots describe their close encounter with up to 16 UFOs on the Dos Equis Files.
Hey, man, it's me, Dave. Do you see what I see?
Dave's not here, man.
No, man, I'm in those long cigar-shaped objects.
Yeah, man, I rolled them myself, man.
No, man, I mean like them UFOs, man.
Oh, wow, man, they're like Mexican UFOs, man.
How can you tell?
See that one that looks like a big sombrero, man?
Hey, what's with that one that's bouncing up and down?
Yeah, that one's about 6 inches off the ground, man.
Oh, wow, you must be a lowrider.
Tonight on the Dos Equis Files, right after Invasion of the Job Snatchers and INS Scare Tactics on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Thank you.
right, folks. So next up, we have our Star Wars segment, since we have a few things to talk about in regards to Star Wars. First and foremost, we need to talk about the great loss that all Star Wars fans had this past December in the loss of Carrie Fisher.
Yep, 2016 had one more death that it had to take from us.
Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher, obviously, is a legend. I mean, to go through what she went through, you know, a young actress getting one of the biggest roles in the history of, you know, all cinema.
Yep.
And she had a long, distinguished career. She had been in a lot of different shows, but she also dealt with her own personal demons, and, you know, it was tough, you know?
But on top of that, I mean, she became such a fighter towards the end. Not just for herself, but for women in general, and for her family, her daughter, her mother. She spoke up, you know, for civil rights, which is fantastic, and she was such an amazing, amazing woman. And yeah, it's like 2016 decided, you know what, I'm really gonna screw you now, let's do this. Yeah, when we found out that she had the heart attack and she was in the hospital, we were already worried.
Mm-hmm.
So when she did pass away, I think I still felt shocked over it, because I still had hope that she was gonna just get better.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was one of those things where you knew basically what 2016 had done to this point, you know, and taking all the people that we grew up with in the 80s and the 90s, and you got a bad vibe when you heard about her problems, and you kind of expected, you hoped for the best, but you kind of were prepared for the worst, and when the worst happened, I think it didn't shock me. And it was one of those things where I was kind of prepared for it, and I was saddened by it, and, you know, what are you going to say? You know, it's a tough loss, and, you know, we lost so many the past year, you know, with Prince and Leonard Nimoy and all the people. Alan Rickman. All the people that we lost this year. David Bowie.
Oh, and thank you, 2016, for taking George Michael on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Last Christmas
has new meaning.
Yes, exactly. So, it was tough to lose Carrie, and obviously you have to wonder how they're going to handle her character, not only in Episode 8, but also in Episode 9. Assuming that her character made it to Episode 9, there was going to be plenty for her to do in that episode.
Well, we know that Disney has already announced that they will not be creating any digital CGI of Leia.
And I think that's the right choice, because nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I agree. It was one thing to do it for Rogue One, because Carrie Fisher gave her permission,
mm-hmm,
for them to do that. This is different.
Right.
And the fact that they're not going to take this route, I think, is going to be respectful to her, to her family, and to the fans.
Yep.
But that also comes up with a few different things. I mean, we know she filmed all her scenes for Episode 8. Obviously, she will not be in Episode 9. So what do you think they're going to do with Episode 9? Do you think they're maybe going to write her out and, you know, have her character die, but we won't actually see her death?
It's a good question, and, you know, Princess Leia kind of deserves more than an off-screen death, so it's kind of hard to think that that's the route that they're going to go. But then again, her absence would be greatly missed in the story arc of the film if, you know, they don't find a way to excuse her absence, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, if she's gone, off-screen death, I think, is going to be the route that they're going to have to take, because otherwise, what are they going to do with her character? I mean, you can't just pretend she doesn't exist. I mean, we've seen some shows where, like, a particular actor, you know, either decided to not do his character anymore, but instead of being written off or killed off, it's like the character just didn't exist anymore. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's a route they cannot do.
No, you can't do that with the character this big.
But at the same time, an off-screen death just seems, I don't know, it just seems like it wouldn't be appropriate for me.
Well, I think that Disney has a lot of hashing out that they're going to need to do in order to come up with what they're going to do, because, I mean, what are they going to do if they're not going to digitize her? You obviously can't film with her. But if you don't kill her off screen, then what are you going to do with her character? She can't go into limbo.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I don't know how they're going to handle it. I don't know how I would handle it. I mean, even if they use, like, archival footage of her, you know, like, you know, maybe a scene that she filmed for episode 8, but they don't use in episode 8, that they're maybe saved for episode 9, and use that as the impetus to, you know, blow up her base or something, you know, to where, you know, we don't have to see her die, but at the same time, it's...
We at least still see her face, is what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get that. But, yeah, I mean, so it's really, really a sad time, and I have a feeling that her death is also going to... If episode 9 wasn't already written, they may be making changes to it.
Oh, they're definitely making changes to it now, because I have to imagine that if Princess Leia survives episode 8, that there was going to be some major, major scenes for her in episode 9. So I think that whole story arc obviously has to change, and somebody else has to take on that role. I don't know if that also changes what they were going to do with Luke, because if the plan was to kill off Luke in episode 8, maybe now you keep Luke because he has to fill that role that Leia was going to be in.
Which kind of leads us into the second part of the Star Wars conversation, the title to episode 8.
Exactly. The Last Jedi is going to be the name of the episode 8 Star Wars episode 8. The Last Jedi. So, does that mean Rey won't be a Jedi? Or does that mean that Rey is the Last Jedi?
Which means Luke dies.
Right. Or does that also mean that maybe Luke turns dark side?
I don't think Luke will ever turn to the dark side.
It happened with his father.
Yeah, true. But we'll have to see where they go with this. I mean, I know that you're under the impression that Luke is probably going to die because he's going to become the mentor.
Right, and that's usually the pattern that happens. If you're a mentor of a main character in Star Wars, you will die at some point. That's usually the way it goes.
Yeah, even in Aragorn that happened.
That's the formula.
But we also had the whole Carrie Fisher situation, so maybe Disney's going to change it up.
Yep. I still think at some point Luke Skywalker will pass away. I just think it's going to happen.
I do hear you on that, but I know that myself and other certain friends of ours are hoping that that doesn't happen. And I know certain friends of ours that may maim or kill others if it does happen.
I just don't see a scenario where Luke survives, because Rey is the focus of this new trilogy. It's not Luke Skywalker. It's Rey's story. So Luke has to pass the torch. How do you not pass the torch, or how do you pass the torch and still be around and overshadowing her? Because anytime Luke Skywalker is on the screen, he's going to overshadow anybody that's there.
Well, I totally get it, and you're right. I do agree with you. I mean, look at the original trilogy. The original trilogy, Obi-Wan Kenobi died in the first film. Yoda came.
He died.
And then he died. Now, mind you, he died of old age.
Right. But he still died.
He still died.
And then there's, in the prequels, Qui-Gon, he dies. And even in The Force Awakens, you know, Han Solo was kind of the first mentor for Rey. He dies. You know, so it's just a pattern, guys. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I love Luke Skywalker's character as much as anybody, but I think for Rey's story to continue and to take full and to blossom to what it's going to become, Luke has to go away.
But I don't want Luke to go away.
Yeah. That's just kind of the way it is. So we'll see what happens, but it's very interesting that the episode 8 is called The Last Jedi, and that could mean a whole bunch of different stuff, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah. I hope I'm not going to be sad.
No, I think we're going to be sad. There's going to be lots of tears.
Lots of tears.
Coming up next, we are going to talk Doctor Who, and man, do we have a lot of Doctor Who to talk about.
Yep.
Hey, Rita.
What up?
Where in the world can we get Manos the Hands of Fate?
Well, it's a good thing you asked. You can go to our Transmissions from Atlantis store at the ESO Network store.
We have an ESO Network store?
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Awesome!
What else can you get in there?
Everything. We've got Doctor Who. We've got Wool by Hugh Howey. We've got books by you.
Hey, now that's class.
And not to mention, you can even pick up the Walking Dead omnibus volumes.
And how do people get this?
Well, all you gotta do is go to astore.amazon.com, Earth Station 1.
Alrighty then, I'm on my way.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back? He's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the Doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me! And I'm just fine with that! When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the Doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me!
And it's time for our Doctor Who segment.
Wee-oo!
And, man.
Wee-oo!
We don't even have time for that. Sorry. Let's start off with we lost a doctor. We lost the war doctor. John Hurt passed away. And, you know, it's tough. John Hurt lived a long life. He was 77 years old. And he was great as a war doctor. He was fantastic in Day of the Doctor. He was also fantastic in the Big Finish audios that he did.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. John Hurt's career, oh my God.
I mean, it spanned, you know, decades. I mean, he was in so many different films. I mean, it's crazy. If you look at his IMDb, he has 204 actor credits. 204! That's crazy! I mean, the man was prolific.
Starting before I was even born!
1962, he starred as in a guest spot in Z-Cars, which was a big show back in the 1960s. And then you have, I mean, Alien, just all the different films that he's been in. I mean, gosh. He was the Elephant Man. He was Caligula in
now,
I, Claudius.
Now, in Alien, wasn't he the guy who had the thing just pop out of his chest?
Yeah, he was Kane, so he had the thing pop out of his chest.
And he reprised his role during Spaceballs.
Yes, Spaceballs. He was in 1984, which has been more and more prevalent of late for some political reasons.
Hello, he was also Ollivander in the Harry Potter films.
Yep. Ollivander in Harry Potter. He was in the Black Cauldron as the voice of the Horned King.
And let's see, what else? He was in Hellboy, the first film.
Yep. I mean, in sci-fi, he's done so much.
Oh my God, he was even in Thumbelina? I love that movie. He was Mr. Mole.
Yep. He was in Rob Roy. I mean...
That's right, he was in Contact. Because he was the investor dude that got her to another galaxy and all that.
Right. And he was the Trump-like character in V for Vendetta. I mean, he was Professor Oxley in Indiana Jones. I mean, you name it, man. I mean, he's been in it. Just a brilliant, brilliant actor. And his talent is going to be missed. What else is there to say? Obviously, one of the most amazing actors to ever grace the screen, and he'll be missed. So, obviously, we haven't had an episode since Christmas, and on Christmas, we finally had new Doctor Who.
So, we were drooling.
So, let's talk about the Christmas episode, The Return of Dr. Mysterio.
Well, let's start off with the original trailer that we saw, because I think we did previously mention it in a...
Yep, we did.
In another episode that the trailer seemed kind of lackluster.
Yep.
Right?
Definitely.
Well, boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
It was a fantastic episode.
I like the way they did it. I like the kind of homages to Superman and whatnot, and... It was a believable story that, and obviously the Doctor is behind everything, as he always is. And it also was an interesting introduction to one of the new companions for this year, Nardole. Obviously you remember Nardole from the last Christmas episode, where he was the poor sap that got his head chopped off.
Yep.
And somehow the Doctor managed to put his head back on his body.
Oh, and I kept wondering where I had seen him... somewhere before, and I finally realized where. That actor is the one who plays Tweedledum and Tweedledee in the Disney Alice in Wonderland movies.
Mm.
The ones with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
So that's where I know him from. But the cool thing about Nardole is that he's going to be in the next series, and he's going to be in every episode.
Yeah, he's going to be in every episode of Peter Capaldi's last series, which we'll talk about in a second. But I gotta say, I like... The reintroduction of Capaldi's Doctor, I thought he was funny.
Yes.
I thought he was kind of brought back a little bit of the whimsy that's been missing the whole time that he's been the Doctor. And I liked that Moffat wrote in a conclusion to the River storyline. You know, that he did stay the 21 years with her or whatever it was. 24 years, whatever it was, whatever that number was, that he did stay with her all of those years. And, you know, basically they were a couple for those years. And now he's got to get over her.
Yep. So when we get to this Christmas episode, he is fresh from sending her off to the library.
Yeah. And technically, if you really think about it, the fact that Doctor Who has been gone for the whole year, you can kind of say, well, you know, the Doctor was with River that whole time.
Yep.
And it also sets up the perfect scenario where once Capaldi's done, that they can do Big Finish with River and the Doctor going off on adventures together.
Yeah. Now, you had this interesting theory, which at the end did not pan out, that you thought Nardole's character in the Christmas episode was River.
Yes, and I still am not sure that that's not going to be the case, because somehow Nardole knows how to pilot the TARDIS.
Yeah, which I found rather odd.
And they were rather, the conversation between the two, it seemed like they had been together forever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, obviously the Doctor spent time with River for 24 years, whatever it is, and if he put Nardole together around the same time, conceivably Nardole could have been around there around that long as well.
Well, think about it. Nardole's character was working at the restaurant.
You're right. So conceivably, they could have that familiarity between them as well. But it just felt kind of like a River-Doctor kind of relationship. And it was odd because Nardole looks nothing like River Song. Obviously, Nardole's a male. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just... There was...
So you're thinking that he probably grabbed her consciousness from the library hard drive and put it in Nardole, maybe?
Somehow, yeah. That's my working theory. I don't know if it'll ever turn out to be right. Maybe it's just kind of like a fan theory that...
I think you're just grasping at straws
here. It's possible, but I think that's my theory, is that somehow the Doctor just could not accept that River was stuck in that... virtual environment, and he found a way to bring her back, even if it's in Nardole.
I can only see, if that were actually true, I can only imagine when that first actually happens, she'll wake up and she'll be like, what the F?
Knowing her, she'd probably be like, okay, I kind of like this.
But overall, the episode was extremely entertaining. The trailer actually did not do that episode any justice at all.
Right. And I thought it was a very fun Christmas episode. It wasn't the best Christmas episode we've ever seen, but it was still a lot of fun. I liked the story. I liked some of the Doctor Who mythology they added to.
Oh, I love the female journalist.
Mm-hmm. She was very good as well.
She was all up in his face.
Yep. And I liked the little squeaky toy that, oh, you know, got people to talk. That
okay,
was kind of funny.
You know, when we go to start the con season this year, and we're going to start seeing the 12th Doctor cosplayers, and they're going to have the little squeaky head.
Oh, that's going to be all over the place, without question. Without question. And so overall, I thought it was a fun episode. I really enjoyed it, and it made me miss Doctor Who all the more, because this is the kind of stuff that... that Peter Capaldi and Moffat can do together.
You know what this was? I'll tell you exactly what this was. Moffat is like that drug dealer that gives you a small taste of the heroin,
mm-hmm,
and then doesn't give you any more.
Yep.
So it gets you addicted, right, to the drug,
mm-hmm,
but then takes it away.
And so the good news is that they have announced a date for when Doctor Who is coming back officially, and it's going to be in April.
Oh, thank you.
Yep,
thank you.
It is April 15th, to be exact.
Whoop, whoop.
And that happens to be the day before Easter Sunday. So it's Easter weekend.
Yippee!
When it comes back. And it's going to be uninterrupted, the full 12-episode season. And we found out just this past week that it's going to be Peter Capaldi's last. And you know what? We've talked about this in the past when rumors started to come out that Capaldi might leave, and, you know, when Moffat decided he was going to leave, it made sense that Peter Capaldi probably would leave as well. And obviously Capaldi's been the Doctor for three series now, so if you go by the three series rule, it was kind of time for him to go anyway. So I get it. But the big question is that everybody's asking, just a month ago, Capaldi said that he wants to play the Doctor for as long as they'll let him play the Doctor. And then a month later, he decides that he's leaving. So the question on everybody's mind is, did BBC push him out?
Well, you gotta think about it this way. You're gonna have a new showrunner taking over. That showrunner's gonna want his own Doctor.
Right.
He might want to start from scratch, go a completely different route from anything Moffat's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like that's the rite of passage. If you have a new showrunner, you should also have a new Doctor so that he can start fresh, he can start with new companions, he can start with a new everything. And he doesn't have to be beholden to anything that's going on in the past. Obviously, you want to be respectful for Doctor Who history.
Yep.
But at the same time, you also want to set your story. And you can't really do that with somebody else's Doctor. So I'm okay with Peter Capaldi leaving. I'm going to be sad, because I thought Peter Capaldi has been a great Doctor. He's been funny. He's been dramatic. He's showed his amazing acting range that he has. And I've enjoyed his series. Obviously, Series 8 wasn't the greatest, but Series 9 was fantastic. And this past Christmas episode was great. And if that is any indication of how Series 10 is going to be, I think it's going to be a fun season, and it's going to be sad to see Capaldi go.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I also heard a rumor that after this series, we're not going to be seeing any more episodes again until sometime in 2018.
Well, that's true. I mean, obviously, it's 2017 right now, so we're going to have this season run in 2017.
Yeah, but autumn 2018.
But yeah, it looks like the Series 11 will not air until autumn of 2018. Obviously, they have to choose a Doctor, which they'll probably do sometime in autumn of this year. Then, Chris Chibnall, the new showrunner, is still working on Broadchurch, finishing up his last season of Broadchurch. So, he hasn't even started working on Doctor Who yet. He has no concepts of what he's going to do. I mean, I'm sure he's got some idea, but
yeah,
he hasn't done any work on it at all. And he said that once he's done with all his Broadchurch obligations, he wants to go on holiday for a little while to kind of get away from it all before he starts working on Doctor Who. Which means that they probably won't start filming Doctor Who until the beginning of 2018.
Yeah. That kind of sucks. But we are still getting a Christmas episode, though, right?
Well, the Christmas episode is where Capaldi's going to regenerate. So, yes, we are getting a Christmas episode. And we will know, we will regenerate into the new Doctor on Christmas once again. How many times have we done that now?
Right?
That seems to be the rite of passage now.
Yeah.
So, we'll have a lot more time to talk about who we think should be the Doctor, but 13 early favorites have already emerged from the bookmakers in England, and here are some of the choices. Ben Whishaw, who was the who played Q in the new James Bond series with what's his face?
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, the guy from the IT Crowd, Richard Ayoade. I can't pronounce his name. Ayoade.
Yeah. Did you turn it off? Turn it back on again. That guy.
Yeah.
Eh.
Olivia Colman from Broadchurch. I'm not a fan of that choice.
Not to mention she was also in Doctor Who.
Yep. As usual, they got Rory Kinnear, who always seems to be rumored as Doctor Who. I don't know why, but he's always
rumored. Maybe it's just wishful thinking.
Maybe, but I think he's starting to get a little older, and I think BBC wants to go younger. That's my opinion. So I don't think it's going to be Rory Kinnear. Rupert Grint from Harry Potter fame has also been mentioned as the Doctor. Could the Doctor finally go ginger?
That would be cool, and let me tell you, he's been busy lately.
Has he?
Yeah.
What's he been doing?
He's been doing some really interesting, kind of gritty British shows lately.
Huh. Somebody named James Norton, I'm not familiar with that person. Laura Pulver.
What?
The woman.
What?
from Sherlock.
No, come on now.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. She'd be an interesting choice, I think. Andrew Scott, Moriarty.
No! No! If you're going to get somebody from Sherlock, get Benedict Cumberbatch!
No, you're not going to get Benedict Cumberbatch. Come on. That train has left the station. I'm sorry. Ben Daniels, he's a famous British actor. He's been in a lot of different shows.
Yeah, he's okay.
I think he's a little bit too old for the role as well. Somebody named Jason Fleming.
Yes.
Who's he?
He's cool.
Who is he?
He's a good actor.
What's he been in?
I don't remember, but he's awesome. I know I've seen his face in a lot of things, and I remember him being kind of quirky.
Mm-hmm. Russell Tovey. No, I don't see him. Nope.
His face is already too well known in the Doctor Who universe.
Yeah, so. As Alonzo. So, yeah, nope, don't see it. And Sasha Darwin, who was in An Adventure in Space and Time as one of the directors.
Nah.
You know.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
You don't like him?
No.
Rhys Shearsmith. I don't know who he is.
I know we've seen him. Isn't he from like Babylon 5 or something?
Yeah, whatever.
He's in some sci-fi series.
I don't know him.
You know who's not on that list that might make a good doctor?
Who's that?
The guy from Lucifer.
Tom Ellis.
Yes.
Tom Ellis, yes.
He's got such a quirky personality.
Tom Ellis would be a great choice. Tom Mizen from Sleepy Hollow would be a great choice.
Yes.
What about Haley Atwell? Agent Carter.
Ooh, yeah.
If you're going to go woman... Go Agent Carter.
Yes, I agree.
Now, Tilda Swinton, no. Nope. I'm sorry. She's a great actress. She's been in a lot of great movies. I don't see her as the Doctor. I just can't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. I just do not see her as the Doctor.
Yeah. So, this is going to be one of those interesting years where we're all going to be... Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Blah, 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 yep. Blah, blah, blah. And there's going to be so many theories, and it's going to be this guy, then it's going
to
be that guy.
And the
guy.
Funny thing is, the way that Doctor Who has always worked, and continues to work to this day, is that all these people that seem logical choices, none of them have a shot in hell of making Doctor Who.
Nope.
They're going to choose somebody young. They're going to choose, because Capaldi's old, so you want the opposite of what Capaldi was.
Yeah.
So they're going to choose somebody young. They're going to choose somebody probably that we've never heard of or, you know, has been in maybe two or three shows. You know, a lot like Matt Smith, you know. Matt Smith was a relative unknown before he took on the role of Doctor Who. David Tennant had been in maybe just a few series before he actually took on the role of Doctor Who.
He was in Harry Potter before he did Doctor Who.
Just right at around the same time.
Yeah, that is true.
Right around the same time. And before that, he was in, you know, like Casanova and a few other... you know, shows, but he hadn't been on television and in film a lot up until he took the role of Doctor Who. Obviously, Christopher Eccleston was a little bit more of an established actor, so he kind of breaks that mold, but other than Eccleston, and Capaldi was been in a lot of shows, but nobody saw Capaldi coming.
No, nobody. It's like, as soon as they announce him, we're like, wait, who? What? Him?
Yeah, I mean, Capaldi is a very veteran actor. He's been in acting for a long, long time, but none of the bookies had his name listed. Nobody had any inkling that he might be the Doctor. And so, it's going to be somebody we totally do not expect. I do not believe it's going to be a former Doctor. I don't believe David Tennant's coming back. I don't believe Matt Smith's coming back. I don't see how, story-wise, that makes sense. And to be honest, I think those two actors have moved on.
Yeah.
You know, I know both of them would love to play the Doctor again, but I don't think they'd want to play the Doctor the full time. I think they want to continue on with their careers. I know Matt has said that he's regretted that he left the role, you know, but at the same time, it was time for Matt to leave. I hate to say it, but it was.
Yeah. He was starting to We're a little thin.
And David, too. I think Capaldi's leaving at the perfect time because Capaldi hasn't worn thin yet. And at the same time, his doctor had the chance to grow into what he's going to be.
Yeah.
So this next season, I think we're going to see the best of Peter Capaldi. And so I think that it's probably the right time for him to make that choice and leave. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be really interesting. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. And once again, folks, we want to make sure that you guys take advantage of the opportunity to come out and check out our Seed and Spark campaign. Again, that's going to be at seedandspark.com/Seekers of the Lost Worlds. That's worlds with an S. So definitely check that out. And we will have a link on our page and obviously on all of our socials. So you'll see it all over the place. It's a great, great opportunity for you folks. It really is. And we wanted to share it with you. And we're so happy that you're going to get that opportunity.
And make sure that you stay updated on all of the news for Seekers, because with the campaign, we're going to have some events running, some cool stuff going on, contests. So just keep an eye out for that, because it's not just going to be this campaign. It's going to be fun, and we're going to get everybody involved.
Absolutely. And for the next episode, obviously, we're going to speculate a little bit more on who may be the next Doctor Who. And obviously, there's going to be some movies coming out very soon that we're going to be checking out. And some new shows starting back up again. Walking Dead will be back.
Great.
Oh, don't be like that. You know you love The Walking Dead. You love it. Don't give me that crap.
I don't like Negan.
What do you mean you don't like Negan?
He's too intense.
You're stupid.
He's too intense.
You're stupid! Anywho. So yeah, so we've got plenty that we're going to be discussing coming up. And until next time we speak.
Elonzi.
Elonzi. Goodbye, everybody.
Elonzi. I should say Elonzi more often. Elonzi. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Elonzi. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say Elonzi, Alonzo, every time.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.